This is the news from the Lord.
Hello, America. This is Jeffrey Lord with another edition of the Did He Really Just Say That? The Word of the Lord with Jeffrey Lord. And as you know, if you listen to this podcast, this is not NPR. I'll have more in a minute. But first, by now you've all heard me talk about MyPillow, and now our friend Mike Lindell has done it again by introducing his new MySlippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop the slippers. They're designed to be worn indoors and outdoors all day long, which is exactly how I wear them. They're made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue, and they're made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, Mike is offering 40% off his new MySlippers. The MySlippers are so comfortable that you will want to get some for the whole family. So go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener's square and use promo code Jeff. You will also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including those fabulous Giza Dream bed sheets, the MyPillow mattress topper, and MyPillow towel sets. Or call 800-606-1043 and use promo code Jeff. Now, think about what you just heard. That is called a commercial. I have commercials on this podcast because, yes, indeed, this podcast, The Word of the Lord with Jeffrey Lord, is a private sector enterprise. To say the least, that is not the case with National Public Radio, or as it is shorthanded, NPR. Perhaps you have heard of the kerfuffle over there at NPR. NPR, of course, is famously paid for not with MyPillow commercials or any other kind of private commercial. It is paid for by you. Yes, you. The American taxpayer pays the freight for NPR. You pay for the staff, the airtime, and all the equipment and building it takes to produce a serious first-class radio show, which makes the saga of longtime NPR editor Yuri Berliner considerably interesting. Conservatives have long tagged NPR as the home of government-funded liberal media. All of the conservative talk radio shows out there, from Sean Hannity to the late Rush Limbaugh, now the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton show, to Glenn Beck and all those conservative talk hosts spread across local stations across America, to a show, they are private enterprises with private commercial sponsors. Not a single taxpayer dollar is involved. And I would add, this should be particularly noticeable as we are just past April 15th and America's annual pay up to the tax collectors at the IRS. But listening for a handful of minutes to NPR, and any American of cogent thought knows they are listening to radio as produced in a left-wing bubble. So imagine the surprise when Mr. Berliner comes out in a lengthy article, and yes, indeed, admits to the problem and criticizes his bosses and colleagues for producing news every day from the liberal bubble. Over at a site titled, yes, The Free Press, Mr. Berliner titled his piece this way, quote, "I've been at NPR for 25 years. Here's how we lost America's trust," unquote. So let me read you some of the things this longtime NPR editor says. First of all, Berliner describes himself this way, saying, quote, "You know the stereotype of the NPR listener, an EV-driving, Wordle-playing, tote-bag-carrying coastal elite. It doesn't precisely describe me, but it's not far off. I'm Sarah Lawrence educated, was raised by a lesbian peace activist mother. I drive a Subaru, and Spotify says my listening habits are most similar to people in Berkeley. I fit the NPR mold," he says. "I'll cop to that," unquote. Then he goes on to say that, quote, "By 2023, the picture was completely different in terms of NPR. Only 11% of the audience described themselves as very or somewhat conservative, 21% as middle of the road, and 67% of the listeners said they were very or somewhat liberal. We weren't just losing conservatives, we were also losing moderates and traditional liberals." An open-minded spirit no longer exists with NPR, he says, and now, predictably, we don't have an audience that reflects America, unquote. So, how did this happen? Mr. Berliner goes on, but of course, this way, saying, and I'll quote him, quote, like many unfortunate things, the rise of advocacy took off with Donald Trump. As in many newsrooms, his election in 2016 was greeted at NPR with a mixture of disbelief, anger, and despair. And just to note, he says, I eagerly voted against Trump twice, but felt we were obliged to cover him fairly. But what began as tough, straightforward coverage of a belligerent, impaired president, he says, veered toward efforts to damage or topple Trump's presidency. Persistent rumors that the Trump campaign colluded with Russia over the election became the catnip that drove reporting. At NPR, we hitched our wagon to Trump's most visible antagonist, Representative Adam Schiff. Schiff, who was the top Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, became NPR's guiding hand, its ever-present muse. By my count, he says, NPR hosts interviewed Adam Schiff 25 times about Trump and Russia. During many of those conversations, Schiff alluded to purported evidence of collusion. The Schiff talking points became the drumbeat of NPR news reports. But, he goes on, when the Mueller report found no credible evidence of collusion, NPR's coverage was notably sparse. Surprise, 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 says I. Russiagate, he says, quietly faded from our programming. It's one thing to swing and miss on a major story. Unfortunately, he adds, it happens. You follow the wrong leads, you get misled by sources you trusted, you're emotionally invested in a narrative, and bits of circumstantial evidence never add up. It's bad to blow a big story. What's worse is to pretend it never happened, to move on with no mea culpas, no self-reflection, especially when you expect high standards of transparency from public figures and institutions, but don't practice those standards yourself. That's what shatters trust and engenders cynicism about the media. Unquote. Well, bingo, Mr. Berliner. Bingo. You got that exactly right. He goes on to discuss how NPR dismissed the New York Post blockbuster scoop of the Hunter Biden laptop story and the Biden corruption it revealed, saying this, quote, the laptop was newsworthy, but the timeless journalistic instinct of following a hot story lead was being squelched. During a meeting with colleagues, I listened as one of NPR's best and most fair-minded journalists said it was good we weren't following the laptop story because it could help Trump. When the essential facts, he says, of the Post reporting were confirmed and the emails verified independently about a year and a half later, we could have fessed up to our misjudgment. But, like Russia collusion, he says, we didn't make the hard choice of transparency, unquote. Berliner goes on to say, this same pattern at NPR surfaced with the arrival of COVID. Notably, when it came to reporting on the origin of the COVID pandemic, said Berliner, quote, the lab link theory came in for rough treatment, almost immediately dismissed as racist or a right-wing conspiracy theory. Anthony Fauci and former NIH head Francis Collins, representing the public health establishment, were its most notable critics, and that was enough for NPR. We became fervent members of Team Natural Origin, even declaring that the lab leak had been debunked by scientists. But, he says, that wasn't the case. Unquote. Berliner keeps on going to give examples, making his devastating case of left-wing bias at NPR. When George Floyd died, he writes that the message from the top of NPR was that, quote, America's infestation with systemic racism was loud and clear. It was a given. Our mission was to change it, unquote. NPR, it was made clear, was all about diversity. Ah, but diversity of skin color and gender. Berliner writes, quote, but what's notable is the extent to which people at every level of NPR have comfortably coalesced around the progressive worldview. And this, he says, is the most damaging development at NPR, the absence of viewpoint diversity, unquote. Now, Having spoken truth to power, you get one guess as to the newest headline about Mr. Berliner. This one from CBS. Quote, NPR suspends editor who accused the network of liberal bias, unquote. Within a matter of hours, that headline was followed by this one at the New York Post. It read, quote, NPR editor Yuri Berliner resigns after bombshell expose reveals network's pervasive left-wing bias, unquote. The Post story reported, quote, NPR correspondent Yuri Berliner, who was suspended without pay after calling out the radio broadcaster's rampant liberal bias, resigned on Wednesday and took a parting shot at the network's controversial CEO. I am resigning from NPR, he says, a great American institution where I have worked for 25 years. Berliner wrote on his ex-social media account on Wednesday. I respect the integrity of my colleagues and wish for NPR to thrive and do important journalism, unquote. Berliner added that he, quote, cannot work in a newsroom where I am disparaged by a new CEO whose divisive views confirm the very problems at NPR I cite in my free press essay, unquote. So, there you have it. You, the American taxpayer, are paying for NPR and its left-wing bias. And if you are working at NPR and protest that bias, you will be suspended without pay and then made so uncomfortable you are forced to resign. Long, long ago, in 1955 to be specific, a full 69 years ago, the late William F. Buckley Jr. understood the problem of liberal bias in the media. So he went to work and started a brand new magazine, a quite deliberately conservative magazine called National Review. 12 years later, a young student at Indiana University in Indiana, a young R. Emmett Tyrrell Jr., known as Bob, began another conservative publication. That magazine also became a success, and I hang my writing hat there at what is known today as the American Spectator. In 1988, Rush Limbaugh burst onto the national scene, followed quickly by Sean Hannity and eventually others with names like Mark Levin and Glenn Beck. Conservative talk radio had taken off. In 1996, along came Rupert Murdoch with his Fox News on television. In today's world, that has been joined by Newsmax, where, full disclosure, I am a contributor. Also there is now One America News Network. But of course, right here in this space, you will find little old me with my Word of the Lord with Jeffrey Lord podcast and my website, thejeffreylord.com, all of which is decidedly not funded, say again, not funded by your tax dollars, but by private sector commercial sponsors like MyPillow. It's a very big difference. Now, here comes this welcome news. The headline from Fox News, quote, Senator Marsha Blackburn, Republican of Tennessee, is planning to propose new legislative action that would threaten to cut National Public Radio's, NPR, federal funding if passed, prompted by the news that it suspended an editor who went viral for expressing the outlet's partisan uniformity in its newsroom, unquote. Well, good for Senator Blackburn. It's about time. If NPR is as good as its defenders insist, then it should have no problem finding private sector sponsors, really, and finding an audience with those private sector sponsors. So, for the Word of the Lord with Jeffrey Lord, this is Jeffrey Lord. Drop by my site, thejeffreylord.com, for news and views, and I'll see you next time.